9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Discussing everything about the afterlife and spirit world.
Hey, 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 guys, and welcome to another episode of Life After Life with me, Sandy Byrne. Now, in this short episode, I do want to talk a little bit about a topic that came up in our most recent Patreon live chat session that I had with the members. Okay, we do this every month. So someone in the group asked about babies choosing their families. You know, they choose the families that they're born into. And, you know, I know that we all hear this all the time. You know, people talk about our children chose us to be their parents, that they're suited to us, that they were meant to be ours. You know, we hear all of this kind of stuff. Well, at least we do here in Ireland. So, look, first of all, I did speak a lot more about your soul group and your soul plan in episode 138 of the podcast. And I'm going to link that below in the description box attached to this podcast, okay? Because that's a good background to listen to on this topic. Okay, so from previous conversations, we know that we get to choose whether or not we are reincarnated and whether or not we come back to Earth for another lifetime. Okay, but do we get to choose who our parents are, you know, or who they're going to be, if you like, when we come back? Okay, so the answer to this is yes and no. Okay, and I know that's not a very specific answer. Okay, but let me explain. So if you've already listened to the other podcast, so we know all about the soul group, and, you know, some people call it a soul group, some people call it a soul family. They're the same thing. But, you know, we have talked about this previously. And, you know, this means that every time that we are reincarnated back into this life, that we are with the same spirits that we spend every lifetime with, you know, and not just every lifetime here in this earth, but also the lifetime in the spirit world. So when we return to the spirit world, we're reunited with our loved ones. And then, you know, the ones that choose to be reincarnated, we come back together, you know, not necessarily in the same role, but the same spirit, if you like. OK. And, you know, we already spoke as well about the fact that the soul stays in heaven, that it's the spirit, or heaven, the spirit world, whatever you want to call it, that it's actually the spirit that comes back to earth. So we can have many different spirits, but we have the one soul. Okay. So because we spend every lifetime with the same spirits, okay, then we're obviously limited as to whom we can choose to be our parents. Okay, because they always have to come from our soul family. Okay, so that there in itself is the no part to my answer, because you don't get infinite choices. You know, no angel will grab you by the hand and say, you know, look at this earth, you can choose anybody to be your parents. Okay, I felt like I was Arthur at Camelot, you know, saying that. But, you know, it's not necessarily that. Okay, you will get to choose, but within your soul group. Now, they're bigger than you think that they are, okay? Because not everybody will come back for every one of your lifetimes, okay? So don't look around at the ones that you have now and think, oh, are these the ones I'm going to be spending infinity with? Well, yes, they are, but there's also a lot more, okay? Anyway, get back to what I'm talking about. So, okay, so once you're choosing within your soul group, you know, then you do have a choice. And this choice isn't just limited to the ones that you prefer, okay? Because obviously, you know, you will be aware of your soul plan for the upcoming lifetime that you're choosing for. Okay, therefore, you will need to choose parents and a family environment that will feed into that soul plan for you. Okay, so you're choosing the best family, the best situation, the best location, all of that in order for you to achieve what you've already set out for yourself in your soul plan. Okay, so say, for example, your soul plan might include, you know, you being the youngest daughter in a family of seven that are very poor. Okay, well, then you choosing, you know, the richest person, you know, within your group to be born to, like, that wouldn't work out, because your destiny and that you'd already chosen it for this lifetime would be to be in a poor family. Okay, you know, when you decide to come back to Earth, you're coming back here to learn and to develop spiritually. Okay, you are allowed to enjoy your life, of course, but ultimately you are here to develop as a spiritual being. Okay, so you will visit your soul group here, and you'll be allowed to spend time with them so that you can choose the best family for you to be in order for you to achieve the soul plan that you've already set out for you. I hope I'm making sense. Okay, so let me tell you a little story that some of you may have heard before. Okay, it's about my youngest son, Charlie. Okay, now Charlie was a much longed for child. Okay, we waited a long time for him, and you know, we had a number of miscarriages. And by the time Charlie arrived, we had a son who was almost 8 years old. Okay, so when Charlie arrived here, we were already living in this house, the house that we currently live in now. Okay, we'd moved here when my oldest boy was, he was what, 5 months off of the age of three, because I remember we had his third birthday party in here. So he was a little over 2.5 when we moved in here. And while we were building this house, like, we used to come out here on a regular basis, like, you know, like any couple, you know, in their 20s, we were so excited about, you know, building the house. And, you know, we already owned our own house, but it was always my dream to build a house. So, you know, we used to come out here in the summer evenings. So one evening we were here, we were having a look around, okay, and we were walking around the side of the house where the kitchen is and the conservatory that's kind of off the kitchen, okay. Now at this point there was only a subfloor and about three layers of blocks that were laid. We were still excited to see the floor plan, okay. Anyway, Donica, who's my oldest boy, okay, he was leaning over the blocks when his dummy fell out of his mouth, okay, his dummy, his soother, whatever you call it. We used to call it a doody. So it fell out of his mouth into the cavity, you know, the cavity between the blocks where they put the insulation, okay. So he nearly lost his life because he loved his dummy, okay. And he cried for it, but we laughed it off, okay. We told him we'd buy another one on the way back into town, but we told him to leave it there, you know, that he'd always be part of this house, okay. So anyway, fast forward about 8 years after this, okay, and Donica was at school at this point and Charlie was at home with me, okay. He'd been to like play school in the morning. I think he was around three or something like that, okay. And he came wandering out of the conservatory and I was sitting on the couch, okay. And he came running at me and he jumped into my arms and he gave me, you know, one of those big squeezable hugs that your little toddlers can give you, okay. I love those hugs. I miss them. Anyway, I hugged him back and I said that I was a very lucky mammy. And I asked him what I did. You know, what I said, what did I do to deserve that big squeezy hug? And he looked at me and he said that Kevin had told him to give it to me, but that he forgot. And like, he was so cute. He literally said, you know, the way the kids put their hand on their head, like real dramatic. Oh, I forgot. You know, Kevin told me to do this and I forgot. And I wasn't thinking. And I said, who is Kevin? I thought it might be a little boy that was at, you know, his play school or whatever. But, you know, when I said that, he leaned back in my arms. I had my arms around him and he leaned right back and he gave me the side eye. You know, the way kids can give you the side eye. And he said to me, no, it was Kevin that died on the motorbike. That's what he said to me. Okay, I was so shocked. Honestly, you literally could have knocked me over with a feather. I'm sure I went pale white. You know, because as I say, you know, he was barely 3 years old. I hadn't explained about Kevin to him at that stage, you know. And like, I was a teenager when Kevin died. So I knew that he hadn't met Kevin in this lifetime. And then he continued on, okay, blathering on about how Kevin had brought him down to meet me and to meet his daddy and to meet his brother. Okay. And he told me that Kevin told him that we'd be a great mammy and daddy for him to choose. You know, and he went on and he told me that they came to see us several times. Well, he didn't say several, he said a few times while he was still in heaven. And that, you know, he said that he was glad that Kevin had brought him because he said, you are a great mammy. He said to me like that, you know. And, you know, he talked for a few minutes and like, I just couldn't speak back to him. Like, I was just like totally amazed. And then I put him down eventually and he went running back out to the conservatory and he said, mammy, mammy, come here. And he walked over to a specific area of the conservatory and he bent down, you know, real cute, put his hands on his two knees and leant over. And he started listening and then he started knocking on the wall. You know, like the conservatory has a huge window, like there's only like three or four layers of blocks at the bottom. And he started knocking on the wall. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for brother's doody. And we always called the dummy the doody. And Charlie never had a dummy. He just wouldn't take it from day one. So he never had a dummy. So he never knew what a doody was. Okay, he's the youngest grandchild. So my nieces were all grown up as well at that point. He said, I'm looking for brother's doody. And, it, you know, when we thought about it later, It was exactly the spot where Thunaca had dropped his dummy into the cavity of the wall 8 years earlier, a good 5 years before Charlie was born. Okay, now make of that what you will, okay? But in my opinion, he definitely met Kevin and he definitely got the chance to choose to come to us as parents. And I should say, just in case this is the first podcast that you're listening to of mine, Kevin was a relative of mine who died in a motorcycle accident when he was 31 years old. And I talk a lot about him in the podcast. I use him as examples for a lot of stuff. So I apologize. And I'm always apologizing to him saying, sorry, but you were my crash test dummy again today. Okay. So that's who Kevin was. Okay. But I've no doubt but that Charlie met Kevin in the spirit world and that Kevin suggested Dennis and I as parents for Charlie. And, you know, although Kevin wouldn't ever have met my husband, there is a family connection in that growing up here in Thurles, in Tipperary, my uncle Michael, who's since passed as well, was best friends with my husband's father. And they had actually gone to London together to find work in the 1960s. And they worked together as motorcycle couriers in London. So there was that family connection. So I know Kevin would have met my father-in-law when he was a younger man, but he would never have met my husband. Okay. So it was funny, like us Irish, we're as bad as any of them. You know, we stick together, you know, like ants. Anyway. So, you know, later on, when Charlie was still quite young, I went to London to study numerology. Okay. And like anything, you know, when we were practicing the numerology, learning it and practicing, you know, what we were learning, I did the numerology for all my family, you know, as you do. Okay. We use them, as I say, as crash test dummies. So when I did Charlie's numerology, when I did it, I identified some areas in his life that would be challenging and where he would need some extra support. Okay, some difficult times that he would be going through where he would need to be supported. Okay, to I suppose save him from going, you know, off track, or, you know, I don't know what phrase you'd use it when kids kind of fall by the wayside or, you know, start drinking or smoking or whatever they do. Okay. So after I'd done Charlie's numerology and Donica's numerology, then I did my husband's numerology, okay? Always last. I always do the kids first, as any mammy probably does. But when I did Dennis's numerology, Dennis is my husband, okay? It showed up that he is actually here in this lifetime specifically to guide Charlie through his lifetime, okay? So my husband's purpose in this lifetime is to see Charlie through Charlie's lifetime. Okay, that's his sole purpose in this life, was to guide Charlie through it. I shouldn't say his sole purpose, okay, because obviously marrying me was a big part of what the rewards he got for coming back to this earth. Okay, so my point in telling you this is that when you look at all these things from like different perspectives and, you know, different viewpoints and different aspects of when you're in different areas of your life, okay, they do actually click together like a jigsaw puzzle. Okay, so, you know, we had Charlie, who was able to tell me exactly where Donica had dropped his dummy in the cavity wall of the house, something we'd forgotten about, you know, told me about Kevin, that someone he never knew about and I hadn't told him about. Okay, and then later on to find out that my husband's, I should say one of his purposes in life, I guess, is to be there to support Charlie through his difficult times, but also, you know, that we were able to identify these difficult times for Charlie. So like all these things fall together and they create the story of Charlie's life. And it becomes obvious that a lot of these things were decided, were planned for before he was actually reborn or reincarnated to this earth. Okay. And now I know, because I do it myself, you know, I'm human as well as spiritual. So I know you're probably all sitting there thinking, you know, why would we choose a difficult lifetime if we actually get the choice? Okay, so we're thinking, like, if I got a choice as to who I'm going to be born into, you know, I want to be born into a mega rich family, you know, with a beautiful figure and, you know, good looks and loads of happiness and whatever. Like, I didn't want to be, you know, born into a poor single parent family, you know, being raised in social housing and all that kind of stuff, you know. But we choose what we need to experience in order for this lifetime to be meaningful enough for us to grow spiritually. Okay, because that's what we're here for. We are here to grow spiritually. So we have a human experience in order to enhance our spiritual experience. Okay. So when we're in spirit, we know that everything that we experience will bring us closer to a higher level of spirituality. Okay, but knowing it in spirit and experiencing it in life, they're two very different things, you know. And I see this, you know, and I've said this before, I see this every time I go to get my legs waxed. Okay, I think that it's not so bad. And then I'm there wondering why I put myself through it. Okay, and it's the same thing. You know, if women remembered the pain of childbirth, you know, they'd never have more than one. I suppose now that I am saying that to you, I think that maybe we would have more than one, because we know that the reward of being a mother and the reward of having that child is totally worth it. You know, so even though we know it's going to be painful and whatever, you know, we know it's going to be difficult with the sleepless nights, the nappy rash, the toilet training, you know, we know what we're letting ourselves in for, but we do it anyway. And it's the same when our spirit selves agree to take on the challenges we do in life, okay? Because we know the reward will be worth it. We do. But in order to get the reward, we have to go through the pain or the experience or the challenge of it, I suppose. You know, it's like the one that they say in the gym all the time, you know, no pain, no gain. Okay. So, you know, the pain, the suffering, you know, the torment, whatever we go through in this life, it's all so that we can develop more spiritually. I'm not saying that there won't be good times, and I'm not saying that there won't be better lifetimes. But if you are somebody who feels like they drew the short straw in this lifetime, it's because it's what you needed. It's what you agreed to before you came back. Okay. Now, I feel that that was a very long way around agreeing that, yes, in my belief, we do get to choose the particular family that we're born into. Okay. We get to decide what challenges we will take on when we come back, you know. Now, while our lives themselves, you know, they aren't set out for us entirely before we come. You know, there's no document, you know, that we sign before we come back that says, you know, on the 22nd of February, 2027, you know, that we're going to, you know, crash our car and, you know, spend the next 6 months in hospital. Like, there's nothing like that. Okay. All those little details aren't necessarily decided. They're a result of decisions that we make in life. Okay. But there are certain challenges that we will experience while we were here. Okay. Our spirit selves know what we're able to handle, even if our human selves don't. Okay. We're stronger than we think. And, you know, I suppose we could say that from our perspective here on Earth, we need to just continue to make choices that feed our spiritual selves rather than hindering our spiritual growth, and therefore hindering our progress in the spirit world. Okay. So I hope all this is making sense to you, and I hope that it's answered a few of the questions that you might have had around this area. So it's just a little follow on from episode 138, and I will put the link in the description box attached here. Now, if you have any questions on this topic, you can comment on my social media, or, you know, my contact details are in the description box attached to this podcast as well. So you can email me or WhatsApp me or whatever. So for now, I will leave you to ponder the decision you made to take on this lifetime that you're currently living. Okay. And I will see you in the next episode of Life After Life. So until then, thank you for listening, and take care and stay safe. Discussing everything.